the battery working now? Yes, it is. Abby? 671. Please rise for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again. Amen. Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed our grace. Our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven, God's love is unconditional, and we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path.
The first reading is from Jeremiah 15, verses 15 through 21. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name. O Lord, God of hosts, I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice under the weight of your hand. I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back. And you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Word of God, word of life. The psalm today is chapter 26, 1 through 8, and we'll read responsively. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord, and I have not faltered. For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked. Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds. The second reading is from Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine, hate that is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if the enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Word of God, Word of Life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised again. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his dominion. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Beautiful day for a Labor Day weekend. As I was very last minute coming into church this morning, no, I didn't forget that I was supposed to give the message. I was noticing in town how many people were out walking around and seemed to have family with them and were just thoroughly enjoying the day, which makes you smile, regardless of how you started your own day. Labor Day weekend is a heavy travel weekend, and I don't need to tell you that because you saw how many cars went through town between Friday and Saturday and stopped to either get gas, buy groceries, or just pass through. All of those college students who left not too many weeks ago are now coming back for their first homecoming after their first few weeks of being gone. And there are those couple of families who still want to try to get that last-minute vacation in before all of fall sets in. All of this travel reminded me of a trip that we went on when I was in eighth grade to Florida. For some reason, my dad thought it would be a really great idea to drive the 22 hours to Orlando, Florida. I'm not sure if that's because he enjoyed driving, if he thought that it was the cheaper route to go, or if he somehow forgot in all of his days away working how much my sister and I fought. But he was the only one who thought that driving for this amount of time would be a great way to start a family vacation. The rest of us, including my mother, thought it was a terrible idea. So if my parents would have had a crystal ball, I wonder if they would have continued with the idea of our road trip to Florida. When we see the result of any decision that we've made, it's natural for us to think, I wish I could go back and change whatever small part of that was and do it over again. Because, of course, hindsight, we always see it so much better. What decisions did you make or conversations did you have this week that you wish had ended differently? It's really easy to look back and make those changes. For example, I would have had the conversation with my children to put the milk farther up on the table before it spilled all over the clothes 5 minutes before the bus came on the first day of school. I also would have remembered to take the clothes off the line before I left the house instead of when I came home and they'd been rained on. Those are some pretty simplistic examples, but you get the idea. If I would have known ahead of time what was going to happen, things would have been much different. But what about more long-term, life-changing decisions? What would you say to yourself today if you could go back to when you were 18, 25? What decisions or priorities would you set for yourself? Maybe to go to college or go to a different college, take a job that maybe you passed up, or any other number of priorities that you would have changed in your life. If you had a crystal ball, how much would you want to know now? One of my favorite feel-good movies is The Bucket List. You might be wondering why a movie about dying is one of my favorite feel-good movies, but if you've never seen it, the comedic genius between Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, then you will understand why. Near the beginning of the movie, Morgan Freeman is admitted to the hospital after a bunch of unfavorable test results. When the doctor comes in the room and begins to go through his spiel, he tells him the situation doesn't look good. And Morgan Freeman's a fairly educated man in this movie, even though he is a mechanic. And he's quoted saying, "I always thought I would want to know the day I would die. But it turns out, when I was given my notice, I didn't really want to know." Today, Jesus for the first time alludes to his death. And more deplorable, he knows he will suffer immensely before it. Peter, being what you could call his best friend, obviously wants to save his friend from any pain. But Jesus recognizes that what Peter is saying is not in accordance with God's plan and speaks out to Satan within Peter's words and says that he is setting his mind only on human things and not on divine things. It is hard to believe in any of our New Testament and Gospels that the divine thing in this case is Jesus' mocking, suffering, and eventual death. If this is the first time that Jesus mentions his fate, he will obviously continue to prepare his disciples. But by talking to them about his own death and purpose on earth, Jesus is also testing his disciples to see if they truly believe in God's plan for his own life. Jesus has that crystal ball. He can see what he is meant to do here on earth, and he sees what trials he will go through and have to endure to complete God's plan. So being one with the Father, did Jesus always know his fate? Is this something he knew as a child, or did God reveal it to him as he grew in the Spirit? Do you think this made it easier for him or more bearable? Whenever it was revealed to Jesus, he knew in the end what he was going to have to go through, and he had mentally come to grips with that. Peter, being human and a sinner like the rest of us, could not. How could you, in good conscience, know that your best friend was going to suffer for you and there was nothing you could do about it? You can't talk him out of it. You can't make sense of it, and you can't understand why this would happen to the Son of Man and the most precious person to you. How can you explain that? Not even Jesus, in how many lessons and how many gospels, could explain why his suffering was the only way to go and make it make sense to us as sinners. I'm sure all of the disciples in that time had to think, it's not going to happen this way. He keeps saying this, but he is the Son of God. There is no way that he is going to have to suffer for all of us and die. There has to be a better way. Hopefulness, in this case, was a sin because they weren't believing in what was being foretold. But how can we help but be hopeful for the things that we do not want to happen that could cause the people in our lives who we love the most pain, suffering, and eventually death? We want so badly in our lives to see the end game. What are we here for? What are we meant to do? Please, dear Lord, save us all some time and patience and show us. But like Peter, even when we see it, we either don't accept it or mentally can't handle it. In our gospel, Jesus also says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and for those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life?" We want to know our future so badly so we can avoid pain and mistakes and possible failure. We want to know our future because we hope it would make our lives easier. And to us, that means better. Jesus knows his future, and he knows it's painful and difficult and short. We as sinners want to take the comfortable path with fewer detours, harassment, and uncertainty. And Jesus knows his path and knows all of those things will happen to him regardless. When we talk to ourselves from the past, sure, there are things we would change. But look at where you are now. We are a product of all the decisions we've made in life. If you hadn't made some of the bad ones, there's not saying that you would be in a better place right now. You can call it the ripple effects on the pond. Somehow, we all got to be where we are. And I'm sure it's not where any of us thought we would be when we were 18. Call it a legacy, where we are leaving, what we are leaving when we leave here. My friend and I have talked a lot about our legacies lately. I graduated from college with her, and unlike most Army enlistees, she decided to enlist in the United States Army after she graduated college. I don't know too much about her rank. All I know is that she has done so well for herself in this time that it would take an act of Congress to remove her from her position. Well, since Congress can't agree on much these days, I think her position is pretty safe. She has done amazing things for our country, and I don't doubt at all the people that she has saved and the work she has done for all of us as a nation. But she definitely never thought she would be in that position when we graduated college. She has put aside all of her personal ambitions when it comes to family, or even her family from when she was little, her nuclear family, to serve the greater good of our country. And she looks back now and says, "I don't have children. I'm newly married. This is not at all where I thought I would be at 35. And I tell her, "You know, I have two pretty cute kids, but I didn't think this is where I'd be either." We all set aside things at the time that we think we know we are on the right path. But things never exactly turn out the way we want them to be. Neither of us thought we'd be in the places we are now, but I know that neither of us would make changes that would change where we are as a result. So we aren't on the path we thought we would be. It isn't exactly what we'd planned, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong. When we see what are obstacles thrown in our way, say heartbreak, a failed business endeavor, a loss, we ask God, "Why us?" We want to know, why are we having to suffer? Lack the patience to see what he has in store for us and what will happen as a result. But in our psalm today, it even says, "Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind." This is exactly what the Lord is doing in our lives through all of those failures, loss, and heartbreak. So we can't see what's coming up next in our lives, but that doesn't mean we don't know what we are doing here as Christians on earth for the greater good and for God's kingdom. It is stated very plainly in our second letter to the Romans. It couldn't be stated more plainly. If I were to tell anybody what it meant to be a Christian, I think I would read Romans chapter 12, and I'm not going to reread the whole thing. "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." That's the best explanation I can ever give for being a Christian. So maybe we don't have the crystal ball, but we have some pretty clear instructions for where God is setting our path. It can't be nearly as clear as what Jesus had for his future, but his life was already planned out for him just as ours is for us. And with the faith that he had set forth, we can only hope to have that faith and that strong love to see where we are predetermined to be in ours. When I talk about the crystal ball, when we left off on that road trip to Florida in eighth grade, none of us were happy about it. I don't even think my dad, by the time we got in the car, was really excited that this was probably the best idea for us. So, as we set off, my sister and I argued. We talked about who was on whose side of the seat. This was before the seatbelt laws, so one of us had to be in the trunk, one laid across the floor, and we got on each other's case. After the very long state of Illinois and get down into Kentucky, we saw the first of many Waffle Houses, and we stopped, and I tried grits for the first time, and then I decided I would never eat grits again. We made it into Georgia, and I saw my first cotton fields, and we stopped along an exit, went out and picked them, and got to feel it for the first time. Then as we got into Florida, we saw alligators on the side of the road, something I thought I would never, ever see. And when we made it a little farther down, we experienced fire ants, and I hoped I would never see that again either. But the thing is, I wouldn't trade those memories for a quicker ride to Florida on an airplane in my life. So given the crystal ball, would I have made that change? Probably not. The road trip was far greater than anything we could have ever imagined, although the fighting could have probably been ceased a little bit as well. So as hard as it is to set aside our need for the crystal ball, take the next step, buckle up, and just enjoy the road trip. Amen.
Thank you.
and trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. To the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. We pray for the church and its mission. Make your church ready to lose its life for your sake. Unite it in service, sustain it in suffering, and let its love for others be genuine. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the earth and its well-being. Make us mindful of the gifts you have labored to give us, and inspire us to commit ourselves to their care. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations and their leaders. Overcome evil with good. Show us how to live peaceably with all. Teach us how to love our enemies. Lord, in your mercy, provide for the hungry. Rescue the persecuted, especially those affected by Hurricane Harvey. Bless those who advocate for fair and safe working conditions and for just and livable wages. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this community and its ministry. Move us to persevere in prayer, to extend hospitality to strangers, rejoice with those who rejoice, and to weep with those who weep, especially Mary, LaVon, Helen, Jeannie, Ron, Brad, and any others known or unknown. Lord, in your mercy. Alpha and Omega, we give thanks for all the saints who now rest from their labors. Keep us in union with them until we are joined around your throne. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. Let us share Christ's peace. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. You possess all things, and you are God, creator of all things, speaking reformation into being, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, raising the dead. Holy Spirit, living voice, calling and enlightening the church. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.